And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Yeah!
Ramel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Punta Rica! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thanks to Bud Light here in our second hour here. Tell you what, that intro, producer Jose Partida, was that Michael Carroll's work? Absolutely outstanding, and I love how he's inserted now La Pantarita Albert Elise for our Hondurans here in Houston. That's a great intro right there. That's got me pumped. Our thanks to Texas Children's Hospital for being the presenting sponsor of the first hour. Daspit Law Firm is the presenting sponsor of the second hour. I saw John Daspit at our watch party at FM Kitchen and Bar. A moment for John and his firm. They're personal injury attorneys. They'll bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. 713-322-4878. Bilingual. Nobody wants to get in an accident, but if you do, car, boat, motorcycle. You may work here at a planter or a refinery. You may drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. DaspitLaw.com. All right, so a great friend to our soccer community, so well-known here in Houston, and a guy that I certainly miss not being in Houston right now. Recently in the news, Oliver, when he left the Houston Dynamo, Oliver Luck, headed up to West Virginia University, where he was the quarterback as a Mountaineer, was the head of the athletic department there, then went to the NCAA, and then, you know, all of a sudden I see something on my phone that says he's now going to be the commissioner of the XFL. So we welcome in Oliver Luck right now, and glad to have him on the program tonight.
Hey, Glenn, how are you? Nice to be on your show.
I'm good. So congratulations on the XFL. Now let's get to the real business at hand, the World Cup. Tell me how excited you are about it.
Well, you know, there are a number of sporting events I look forward to every year in a variety of sports, but I'm not sure that there's anything quite like the World Cup. And, you know, like everybody in this country, I'm disappointed that, you know, we the U.S. didn't make it. But, you know, nonetheless, I think this is such a fantastic sporting event. It's so much fun to follow. I'm really curious, you know, to see how the Russians sort of do it, right? Not just the games themselves, they'll be fine, I'm sure, but, you know, all the other activities around, you know, the World Cup, because it is the global sporting event, you know, more so than the Olympics, more so than probably any other event. So this is going to be interesting, you know, and I'm also, you know, as someone who was, you know, had a mom, my mother was born and raised in Germany, so, you know, I'm obviously a fan of the German soccer, but, you know, I'm also curious to see sort of where Americans, you know, divvy themselves up in terms of who they support, because it's so much more fun, of course, to watch a game, you know, having a rooting interest than we all want to see good soccer, of course, and I'm sure we'll see some unbelievable soccer in the World Cup, but it's fun to have a rooting interest. And I'm kind of curious to see where the Americans, given the absence of the U.S. team in the World Cup, given, you know, to see where we sort of end up in terms of our rooting interest. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, a lot of storylines out there, and a lot of people are kind of trying to figure out how that's all going to work. And like you said, a lot of it goes back to your heritage and you know, where your family's from. And I'm the same. You know, my mother's name was Nesselhoff. So, you know, I like the Mannschaft. I always have. I love the way the Germans have organized soccer in their country, and their development system's amazing. But, you know, I'm hearing all kinds of stuff. I'm hearing people going, you know what, I'm a U.S. fan, but I'm pulling for Mexico because they're our neighbors and they're CONCACAF. And there's every kind of reason under the sun.
Well, you know, I've always rooted for CONCACAF, right? I mean, yeah. We should. I mean, it's sort of our district, if you will, you know, in global soccer. And, you know, obviously Mexico will get, you know, the most support. But, you know, I think it's a sort of an interesting opportunity for CONCACAF. But, you know, I think there'll be American spread, you know, all across the board. You know, and I guess the other sad thing, right, Italy didn't make it either, right?
Yeah.
That's tough, yeah, because, you know, just, you know, the Italian-American population in this country.
Yeah, we have so many. No Netherlands, no Ghana. The Black Stars of Ghana don't go, who the U.S. has had such great. It's ironic that Black Stars of Ghana and the United States don't go at the same time with all their World Cup history. All right, so let's keep this rolling here, because I'm excited for Houston because of our diversity of people all over the world. The bars and pubs are going to be filled down here. I mean, I just think it's going to be so much fun this summer, and I think there's going to be a lot of people calling in sick from work.
Well, that's entirely possible. It's, you know, given sort of the heat and humidity in Houston in the summertime, it really is a great time to call in sick and, you know, get out to your local pub and watch the games. There are going to be some good games. There's no question about it. You know, I think over the years of watching World Cup, you know, going back to when I was a teenager and sort of all of a sudden, you know, World Cup was on television, I think of all those very memorable, almost indelible moments, you know, whether it's, Götze scoring a great goal, you know, in the final for Germany, or, you know, whether it's Maradona. I mean, there's so many, Baggio, there's so many great moments that really stick with you, and that's incredible, because that makes the sport, you know, a very important part of one's upbringing, and that's what embeds it, I think, in our psyches.
Oh, I remember the 86 Manuel Negrete goal at Azteca. How about the Jeff Hurst with a hat trick in 66? The only other person to score a hat trick in a World Cup final on the men's side is none. On the female side, it was Carly Lloyd, but just so many indelible moments. But that's the beauty of the event, right? Every 4 years, Oliver, and I get worried sometimes when I see, hey, we're going to 48 teams, and, the sanctity of this event, that's why it's so remarkable, because somebody from Tunisia, Iceland, Peru, somebody from a country that maybe is not in the superpowers of soccer, maybe a Korean player, maybe a Panamanian, maybe a Serbian, maybe a Costa Rican, are going to do something that's amazing, that's going to, it'll change their entire lives, and it'll be, you know, it's like us talking about Negrete's 86 goal at Azteca. It never
right.
will go
no, you're,
away.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. You're absolutely right. And that's the beauty of the tournament as well. You know, the only sort of, you know, having been right for the last 3.5 years at the NCAA national office, and then prior to that, as you mentioned in your opening at West Virginia, you know, the only other event I think that goes on over, you know, a period of weeks is the NCAA tournament, in terms of events that can really compare themselves to the World Cup. And of course, you know, the tournament's really primarily a domestic event in the U.S., but it has a little bit of that same flavor, you know, mm-hmm. where kids can make themselves almost sort of immortal, you know, by hitting that shot at the end of the game, or, you know, buzzer beater or whatever, you know, to move their team forward through another round. And those are fun. Those are very special moments, obviously.
3 billion people expected to be engaged with the World Cup. I mean, it's just unbelievable to even think that. Do you worry a little bit about the sanctity of it, though? And, you know, I've heard people over the years, oh, we should have it every 2 years. I mean, the fact that we have to be patient is a big part of this, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a challenge, I think, in today's world, you know, when you say that less is more, right? Mm-hmm. And that's hard, because I think most of us are relatively impatient and want, you know, semi-instant or instant gratification. Every 4 years is a long time. Yeah, but then you think about, you know, the qualifiers and what they mean, and sort of the history of friendlies, and, you know, how the whole structure is set up. And then you also think about, you know, the challenge that, and still does have, that MLS has in terms of fitting itself, given its schedule, you know, into the global and the regional sort of structure of soccer. Those are all sort of tough decisions to make. But, you know, I think the way it works now is really nice. You know, I don't know if this is the perfect situation, but I'm not sure that, you know, you need to really tinker with it too much. And that goes as well for, you know, sort of FIFA's push for this, you know, club championship, right? World Club Championship, and how they want to expand that. So, you know, you have to be careful, right? Tradition is important. And I'm not sure there's a sport where tradition is more important than global soccer.
Does it ever jade you, Oliver, you know, that so many of the decisions around sports these days are not necessarily made for the sport itself, and they're made for financial reasons?
Well, you know, I'd probably take a little bit of a sanguine view in the sense that I think historically lots of decisions are made, you know, with economics in mind, right? Dollars may have been smaller, or whatever global currency we're talking about, it may have been smaller. But I think that historically a lot of decisions have been made with the sport in mind, so the competition itself, as well as, you know, the financial impact. We you know, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? And whether it's, you know, MLS or any other professional league, you know, you've got to sort of keep the economics in mind, because otherwise it could be, you know, sort of self-destructive. And we've seen that in lots of countries, you know, certainly with soccer, where leagues kind of, you know, come and go. So, you know, am I worried about it? A little bit, but I think it's been the case for a number of years.
Yeah, and I may have been saying that more specific to soccer. So let's move on. So XFL. Now I'm thinking about my friend Oliver Luck, right? A lot of you is about purism. You're a purist when it comes to sports, but you also, to me, think out and you extend your boundaries when you look at whatever sport it is. So I see you with the XFL, and I know the XFL is going to try to reach a specific sort of demographic. Am I right saying that?
Well, I'll give you sort of the full story. So the XFL is a startup league that I think has incredible potential. Vince McMahon, who, you know, is a fantastic American entrepreneur who built WWE into a, you know, massive publicly traded company. You know, Vince is a football passionate person. You know, as you know, Glenn, I love both codes of football, but, you know, and very familiar, obviously, with our code, American football. And there's a tremendous opportunity to really be at the very ground floor of building what I believe can be a very sustainable league in a sport that, you know, 70 million Americans self-identify themselves as, you know, American football fans. So this was a really neat opportunity for me. Vince has vision. He has incredible leadership. He's a tremendous entrepreneur, and he's also capitalizing, you know, this effort to establish the XFL, and we're going to begin play in 2020. He's capitalizing this, you know, to a very significant level, and that doesn't happen very often, you know. So this was a tremendous opportunity, and I was very taken, you know, with this idea of reimagining the game of American football. And you know, ironically, some of the aspects of what we're looking at, sort of a fast-paced, you know, shorter game with fewer interruptions, really, quite honestly, resembles the way that the game of soccer, right, the game of European football flows. And so we're trying to get some of the best minds over the next number of months to really think about how the game of American football can be reimagined, how we can kind of, you know, package it and you know, keep those things that people love about football, but also, you know, to make sure that it's as safe as it can possibly be, that it flows a little bit better than it does today, that all of these sort of gripes that most American football fans have, me included, there's too many breaks and it takes too long and all that, that we can sort of package this in a much different way, including using technology, you know, at the very front edge. So it's a really neat opportunity, and I loved what I was doing at the NCAA. I'm a, you know, big fan, as you know, Glenn, of college athletics writ large. But this was a very special opportunity to work with a guy who's really remarkable, and Vince McMahon, a tremendous, you know, entrepreneur. And so, you know, I'll be taking over the XFL as commissioner and CEO, and look forward to it in a big, big way.
Oliver, listen, thank you so much for coming on. Can we get you on again during the World Cup? What do you think?
You bet.
I want you to break down Yogi Löw and the German national team, the Mannschaft.
I will happily do that, my friend.
All right.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right. That's Oliver Luck now with the XFL, and a great friend of ours in Houston. Every level of football, and of course, was the president of the Houston Dynamo. So we thank Oliver for coming on.